Good morning. Before I get going, I just want to thank everybody for their positive comments and their reception of this study. Like I said in the very first week, this study can be difficult for some to hear and to receive and think about. So I want to just thank you for your positive comments on what is going on so far. Like every week, we have a lot to cover this week. This week, we're going to be talking about one of the key things I've tried to, I'll use a very crude term here, beat into your head, which is, what is your authority? So today, we're going to be talking about the scriptures themselves, the authority of the scriptures themselves. And we have a lot of verses that we're going to read to support this and the, I don't want to say the opposing view like we're in a battle, but in essence we are. But the view of Catholicism regarding the scriptures, which hopefully you will understand is key and very important in the understanding of our doctrinal position. So as you've noticed, the Church of Rome does not regard the scriptures as the ultimate authority for faith. The doctrine of sola scriptura, or scripture alone, was a huge issue during the Reformation. And I know we hear about that every year during Reformation Sunday, and especially this year, celebrating the 500 years of the Reformation. It continues to be a topic between Rome and those who subscribe to a Bible-only view of authority. Now, when we speak of the authority of Scripture, what exactly are we talking about? What exactly do we mean? We mean that our faith rests in the Scriptures alone, for they alone are God's truth. And I want to read something that we should all be familiar with. This is from Cornerstone's doctrinal statement regarding the scriptures. And this is what it says. We believe in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament as verbally inspired of God and inerrant in its original writings, and that they are the supreme and final authority for life, for faith, in faith and life. So with that, you can see where Cornerstone's position, this church's position, is that the scriptures alone are their authority for faith and for life. So we stand firm in the belief that the scriptures alone are infallible in their teaching, and they alone are to be believed above all else, including the teaching of man, the traditions of the church, or any other religious book or writing. Jesus, in answering those who questioned him, had much to say about the authority of Scripture. When questioned by the chief priests and the elders, Jesus said in Matthew 21:42, "Have you never read the Scriptures?" implying that the Scriptures held the answers to their questions. Where do we go when we have questions for life? Is our first issue to run to the remote and turn on Oprah? Is our first view for when we have questions in life to find out what Dr. Phil says? Is it to call up our neighbor? Why would we call one another to discuss matters of faith in life? Because we think we have good opinions? Or because we believe that the answers we would get from our brothers and sisters would have a basis in the scriptures. That's why you would call someone. If your faith lies on the authority of scripture. So as you seek answers for life, for faith, for morals, where are you seeking those answers from? that speaks a lot to what your faith is built on. Matthew 22:29. I'm going to go through these pretty quick. And I want you to hear, I want you to listen to where the authority is placed in these verses. Matthew 22:29. To the false teachers, Jesus said, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures." Luke 24:27. Jesus points to the scriptures as a source of knowledge concerning himself when he said this, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." Acts 17:2. "And his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures." Acts 18:28.
Hey, Joe.
Yes.
What was your first passage?
Matthew 22:29.
Thank you.
Now, Acts 18:28. Paul confronts error by pointing to the scripture. "For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." They're the source of truth. John 17:17. "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Notice it doesn't say tradition is the source of any truth. The teaching authority of Scripture in Romans 15:4. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." They give us the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins. Not just because Paul said so, but according to the scriptures, verse 4, that he was buried, that he was raised, and on the third day, again, on what authority? According to the scriptures. It is the source of truth and knowledge for salvation and for eternal life. 2 Timothy 3:15-17. "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." Listen to what it says following that initial statement. "Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Why all of this importance on the scriptures? Because, verse 16, "all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." And why is that so important? Why are the scriptures and what they do so important in our life? Verse 17, "so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, please understand, your position on the authority of Scripture is most critical. It's not something that we Christians have in our back pocket to say, this is what we believe, and then we go off living as we choose. Too many people do that. I am one that gets extremely nauseated when I see this at home plate. And then when they strike out, you can read their lips and you all know what I'm talking about. That doesn't match this. So if we live by this, our life should match this. Our conversation should match this. And most importantly, people, most importantly, our theology and our doctrine must match this, not what we feel. What does the Bible itself say about the way we feel? There is a way that seems right unto man.
But the ends thereof are the ways of death.
Amen. Or, as Bob has pointed out going through Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we can see the outcome of that as we go. As we've pointed out before, the Church of Rome teaches that both Scripture and tradition constitute the Word of God, and both are equal in authority and in faith. Now, to justify this position, the Catholic Church often advances the argument that the Scriptures themselves never claim to be adequate to meet all our needs. Now, I just read a bunch of scriptures that tell us they're adequate. But the Church of Rome says that the scriptures themselves never say that they are adequate to meet all our needs. Their proof text for this is John 21:25. And this is what it says. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Now, does that sound like anything at all, like the scriptures not being sufficient? In fact, John 20:30-31 says this. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John plainly states here, he plainly says that the scriptures are indeed adequate for all that we need for eternal life and daily life. God has given us all we need. You can believe the verse I read earlier, that if everything was written down, the world couldn't contain it. But God has given us all that we need. So it is absolutely adequate, not adequate, but absolutely the right thing to say that the scriptures provide all that we need. It does not say that they are inadequate. Now I want you to listen to a statement from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, page 26, regarding its source of truth. See if you pick up on anything as I read this. Again, the word church is speaking exclusively here of the Roman Catholic Church. This is what it says. As a result, the church, to whom the transmission and interpretation of revelation is entrusted, does not derive her certainty about revealed truths from the scripture alone. Both scripture and tradition must be accepted and honored with equal sentiment of devotion and reverence. How else, last week we talked about Mary, how else can all of that doctrine about Mary come to be stated as doctrine and as something you must believe if you're going to stick to the scriptures alone? So by sticking to the scripture and tradition, that is where, in Catholicism, doctrines and teaching like that can come about, or did come about. So Rome teaches that the scriptures alone are not adequate. And if you missed that, Rome also states that they alone are the ones who received and interpret the scriptures. It said, as a result, the church, the Catholic Church, to whom the transmission and interpretation of revelation is entrusted. So God has only entrusted the Roman Catholic Church with the scriptures and with a correct interpretation of them. Now, just so you don't think I'm reading anything into that, so you don't think that's my bent or my axe to grind with Catholicism, let me read this. From the same book, The Catechism of the Catholic Church, page 27. Again, I want you to pay attention to what they're saying, the implications of what they're saying. The task of giving an authentic interpretation of the Word of God, whether in its written form or in the form of tradition, has been entrusted to the living teaching office of the church alone. He goes on to say, this means that the task of interpretation has been entrusted to the bishops in communion or in cooperation with the successor of Peter, the Bishop of Rome, or the Pope. So that interpretation of Scripture has been entrusted to the bishops and to the Pope, not to you, not to you at all. Now, is this teaching supported by Scripture? And the obvious answer is no, it is not. The Bible never says any one church or denomination or person is in charge of interpreting the Scripture. In fact, there is great danger in that. There is great danger. Scripture speaks that we haven't received this by any private interpretation. So the Scriptures themselves speak of that, and there's a danger in that, a great danger. Paul tells Timothy that he, and consequently each and every one of us, you. So as I point my finger at you, like I've said before, there's three more pointing back at me. We are responsible to study the Scripture in order to handle it accurately and understand it correctly. 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best, or as some versions put it, study to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles or rightly divides the word of truth. Now, this verse is given in the imperative. It is a command to study. It's not a helpful little suggestion that will help you along in your Christian life as you hold on to Jesus as your life coach. Jesus is not our life coach. We don't bring him along so he can help us have a better life. Jesus and the way of Christianity is our life. That's who we are. The Bible cautions about tradition or man-made teaching as a source of divine truth. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one take you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depend on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Matthew 15:9. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Ephesians 5:6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. And in Mark 7, which I read to you at the beginning of last week, Jesus is asked why his disciples don't follow the traditions of the elders. And Jesus' response in verses 6 through 9, and he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commands of men. You leave the commandments of God and hold to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to establish your own tradition. That is huge. That is, you can't get any clearer than those verses regarding someone who follows tradition as a matter of faith or a doctrine or a matter of theology. Now, do we have traditions in this church?
Sure.
Sure we do. What's one of them that in a short while you're going to be part of? Stand when you read this. Do you know, this shows you how messed up I am, there has been a couple times, and Kathy, you can talk to Bob about this, there's been a couple times in the past month or two that Bob has not had a stand. And do you know for a split second? Yeah, I know, Bert, I'm telling you. For a split second, it was like, you're not standing. There's this thing, and as much as we do not follow tradition for anything regarding faith and morals, it shows you what traditions do to you.
Right.
They can hold you captive.
Yes. Very powerful.
Very powerful. Very powerful at all. How many of us have this attitude in the back of our head? And how many of us have actually said this or reacted this way when there comes a change? Well, we've never done it that way. Why not? Well, we've always done it like this. Well, this is a better way. Well, I don't care. It doesn't matter because we've always done it like this. I would challenge each of you. There are traditions we have and there are habits that we have. And as you go through those today, I don't care what you turn on one side of the faucet before the other. You pull a chair out a certain way. You tie your shoe one foot before the other. If that's a problem, get a pair of loafers. Traditions are very powerful things. But when they take the place of truth, of the scriptures, for matters of your faith or your salvation, it's a huge deal. And again, these verses that I've read could not be clearer on the danger of following tradition in those senses.
Right.
Now here's something regarding what Rome says regarding its role in interpreting scripture. From the teaching of the Catholic Church, page 59. And again, you just please listen closely to what's being said. The Holy Ecumenical and General Council of Trent keeps this constantly in view, namely, that the purity of the gospel may be preserved in the church, the Catholic Church. Listen closely here. After the errors have been removed, it is also clearly perceived that these truths and rules are contained in the written books and unwritten traditions which have come down to us, having been received by the apostles by the mouth of Christ himself. Following then the examples of the Orthodox fathers, it receives and venerates with the same piety and reverence all the books of the Old and New Testament, for God is the author of both, together with all tradition concerning faith and morals, for they come from the mouth of Christ, or are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and have been preserved in continuous succession in the Catholic Church. End quote. So this thinking on tradition is that Christ spoke to his apostles. The Bible itself says that all the books are not contained in the scriptures, right? All that Jesus did, all that he said, are not contained in the scriptures. So the thinking is, the course of thinking is, these things that he said directly to his apostles that are not written, those apostles said them out to other people, other followers, passed along. That's the tradition, that's the kind of tradition that the Church of Rome is talking about. Now, the Bible talks specifically about those men that wrote this book. And what does it say? Who is behind the writing of this book?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. As he carries along, holds up, undergirds, people that wrote this book. So in essence, what do we have? A book written by a bunch of old Jews? No, we have the very Word of God as it states itself. Now, in the past, Rome has worked very hard to keep the Bible out of the hands of its people. At one time, it was on the list of forbidden books. And even now, it is, with its backing off of that since Vatican II, it still must control the interpretation. Listen again from the book, The Teaching of the Catholic Church. It says this: in order to restrain irresponsible minds, that no one shall presume in matters of faith and moral pertaining to the edification of Christian doctrine, to rely on his own conception, to turn Scripture to his own meaning, contrary to the meaning that Holy Mother Church has held and holds, for it belongs to her to judge the true sense and interpretation of the Holy Scriptures. Since Vatican II, where the Church of Rome once wanted to soften their position on things, You now hear, you drive by a Catholic church during VBS time that we have here, you will see on Catholic churches' marquees that they're going to have VBS, or they're going to have Bible studies, or their priests are sometimes more often now called pastors than father or priest. This is to help ensure, or to help them from losing numbers, that they were losing tremendous amount of numbers to people like us or other denominations. And in order to try to cut that down, they came up with Vatican II and some of those statements. I have documentation on that. If we had several more weeks, I would go through that with you as well. Now, the Church of Rome claims to follow the Bible. If you read in the Catechism of the Catholic Church about the Scriptures, you would say, almost, but you would say, I can follow that. I can agree with what they're saying about the Scriptures. However, it says that it's the Word of God while at the very same time denying its authority and its infallibility. We need to understand that you just can't have it both ways.
Right.
You can't say, I believe this, and then say, I have to take the errors out of it. You can't say that tradition is something to be held on to with equal sentiments of faith, and then say that you believe this, which says, don't follow tradition. You can't say all this about Mary or about the Mass and claim to follow this, because this does not speak to those. It speaks against those things, but it doesn't speak to those things or for those things. Yes?
Do the extra books, I mean, I haven't been here for a couple of weeks, so do the extra books that they have in their Bible, like, support their, like,
the Apocrypha?
Conspiracy that they have?
So, well, some of their teachings are supported in those books. That's where they get them from. But
I just don't understand, like, how, I mean, it's just crazy that it's there and they still just...
But understand, and this is key with her statement about, I don't understand. Where were we before the Spirit of God opened our minds so that we could understand or would understand? Tracy.
The reality is a lot of the children are raised in that and they believe their parents.
Yep.
Right? And so their parents aren't going to lie to them.
No attempt to be political. My mom and dad, my grandmother and grandfather, their mother and dad, my great-grandparents, they were all Catholic. I mean, I'm Italian, right? They're all Catholic. If you're German, you're Lutheran, I guess. But so growing up, that is what I was. And that is what I was going to be. Just like my mother and father were both Democrats. So when I first got the right to vote, guess what party I was looking at? Okay? Yeah, the Republican. So what I'm saying is those traditions have much to say about us. Now, I just want to wrap this up because I think I have about 30 seconds here. Again, the Church of Rome claims to follow this while denying the truth of the scripture they claim to follow. Those who say they follow Christ, us, you, if you say you follow Christ, cannot go against what Christ himself taught about the authority of scripture. We follow the doctrines and teaching of scripture alone, or we follow something else. And again, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, come to grips with, what do I trust? What is my faith based on? What is my source of authority? That's what we have to come to grips with. Now, next week we'll be talking about salvation. The week after we'll be concluding. And I really want to encourage you to be here for next week and the following week. And those that aren't here, if you see them, try to get them here for that, okay? Very good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for your word that just illuminates our heart by your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that any struggles we're having with this topic, with this subject, with family, with friends that we have desired to speak to, that you will speak to us and encourage us and embolden us to share the gospel with them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.